It's going to be an evangelistic message with the scripture. 1 John chapter 2, 28. I'm going to use only one verse, and it's going to be very simple. I'm going to make it laid down so everybody can understand. And 1 John 2, 28, John says here, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." There are some lot of key words here. I'm going to use that first, then we'll give the study. And John says the subject of this, or the object, or the subject, is when he shall appear. He's talking about a person who is going to appear. He's not only going to appear. In the last verse, he says that he's coming. Alright? Who is this person? We all know this is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is his second coming. Jesus is not only going to appear in the sky, but he is coming. Jesus is coming. And also, not only that, another very striking word here is that we may have what? Confidence in his coming. The word confidence is against the word ashamed. The opposite is ashamed. You see, those words are there in it. Those are the striking words here, that we will have confidence in his appearing, in his coming, that we will not be ashamed. But the key word that I'm going to use in this is the word that is going to concern us in his coming. And that is to abide in him. You see that word there? Abide in him. That's the key word there. If you abide in him, then of course you will have confidence in meeting him. You will not be ashamed. Now, there are a lot of false teachings that is going on to say that Jesus have already have come. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe, and there are a lot of other different religious groups that say that Jesus have already come. These are false teachers who come in wolves' clothing. They are sheep's clothing. They look like sheep, but they are inside, they are wolves. And don't be fooled of their teachings, because the New Testament is very clear that Christ will return, and his return is going to be personal. Okay, so the message is going to be a personal message. It's not, are we ready to meet Christ? The message is, are you ready to meet Christ? Okay, so Christ's return is going to be a personal return, and also it's going to be a physical return of Christ. Now, if you turn with me to Acts chapter 1, verse 11, this goes along with this verse in return of Christ. Acts 1:11. Here, starting from verse 10, "And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who said to them, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." It's the same Jesus. It's not another Jesus who is going to come. The angels are saying, why are you gazing up into heaven as he is going? Now, a lot of people say Jesus, when he ascended to heaven, and also when he's coming back, he will come as a spirit. You don't gaze at a spirit, because a spirit you cannot see. Okay? It's only an object you are gazing. Understand? So here we are seeing it's the person of Jesus Christ who is ascending. His body, his soul, his humanity that is ascending. And it's the same Jesus is going to come in the same manner. Alright. So he shall come, when he come, he will come in the clouds of heaven. He shall descend himself in a person just like as he ascended. Alright? Also goes along with this scripture is Revelation chapter 1 verse 7. It says here, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and every and even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. And here you can see his coming. Every eye will see him. Not every spiritual eye, every eye is going to see him. Christ, false prophets say Christ has already come. They say it was a spiritual coming. Do not be deceived. The false prophets are preaching by the spirit of Satan. The false prophets are not telling you the truth. The Bible is telling the truth. The return of Jesus is going to be a physical return. He is going to come in the clouds and every eye is going to see him. Now, the question is this. This is a question where every man, every woman, and every child is going to answer. The question is, am I ready to meet God? Am I ready to meet Christ? Are you going to be ready to meet Christ when he comes? That is the question. So I'm not talking to the next person or the other person. I'm talking to you personally, because Christ's return is going to be a personal one. Now, as I said, the key word here in verse 28 is the word abide in him. That's the most important. That's where we are concerned. We need to abide in him. Why is the key word? This verse 28, is a continuation of the previous verse, that is verse 27, right? So, in even this scripture, 1 John 2:28, is not an isolated scripture, but it's a continuation of verse 27. Because if you turn with me to verse 27, 1 John 2:27 says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. You see the word abide there? And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaching you as concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught, that you will what? Abide in him. So you see, in two scriptures, the word abide is there three times. Then he goes on to say the coming of Christ, and then he goes on to say, oh, true Christians will have confidence in meeting him. If you are not a true Christian, you will be ashamed to see him. So the key word is abiding. Are you abiding in him? The Greek word is meno, M-E-N-O-O. It's a verb. Abiding means it's a present verb, right? It means it is, the word is so easy, just like abiding. There are no deep words here. In Greek, it means to continue to dwell, to endure, to be present in him, to remain in him. That's it. To continually remain in him, to dwell in him. Now, in the previous verse, we see that the Holy, we have an anointing. Because of that anointing, we can abide in him. The anointing is, of course, the Holy Spirit that comes and abides in us. And he continually lives in us. Now, the believer's walk, it's a walk that is in the Spirit. If we have the Holy Spirit, we need to walk in the Spirit. God did not give you the Holy Spirit for you to walk in the flesh. There is a difference here. The unbelievers, their walk is a walk in the flesh. But the believer's walk is different than an unbeliever's walk. The believer's walk is a walk in the Spirit. They walk by faith. And they walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now remember, we need to, as Christians, we need to take the words of God very seriously. Alright? Now, the word says, are you going to be ashamed or are you going to have confidence in meeting Christ? We need to go back to the very beginning where the paradise was lost. And see, Adam and Eve, when they sin against God, if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, and it says here, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And here they heard the Lord walking, coming towards their presence. They were ashamed. They were ashamed of God and they hid themselves of His coming. Why were they ashamed? They were ashamed because they have violated the commandments of God. They were ashamed because they were disobedient to God. They were ashamed because they have sinned against God. Now, they were the first ones to be ashamed. So if you are in sin, you're going to be ashamed. You're going to hide. No one knows the day or the hour or the time when the Lord is going to come. That is one thing that is not revealed to the church specifically about the date and the time. That's why within the Christian circles there are different views on this, because God has not revealed to the church. The question is this. And be honest to answer. My question is, how will you feel if He is going to appear at any time now? How will you feel? What would be the first impulse? Would you run to meet Him? Or would you be ashamed and will you hide? Will you find a hiding place to hide? If Christ is going to come today, anytime, when you are not ready, because Christ said He will come as a thief in the night, that means thief will not tell you what time He's going to come. He will come at any time. If He comes at any time, are you going to run to meet Him? Or are you going to be ashamed like Adam and Eve will find a place to hide? Now, if you live in sin, then you will be ashamed. If you live in sin, you will be ashamed to meet Him. You will find a place to hide. This is not a story I'm saying. This is a reality that is going to come. This is a truth that is going to come. It's going to happen. And this is so important. That's why we need to take this word seriously and put it into our heart. And it's a personally, okay? Are you going to be ready to meet Him? Remember, when Jesus came in His first appearance, in His first coming, He came as a lamb. And He came in humility. But in His second coming, He's going to come as a lion. He's going to come as a judge. He's going to come to judge the world. He's going to come in the clouds, meaning with power. He's going to come with His angels. The question is, are you ready to meet Him? That is the question. I'll tell you, the unbelievers, they have no fear for God today. A lot of people don't have fear for God. Even there are people who call so-called Christians. They have no fear for God. They say they are Christians, but when it comes to sin and continuing sin, they will go on sinning anyway. They will go to church whenever they want to and read the Bible. But they have no fear for God. And so are the unbelievers. They have no fear for God. But I'll tell you, on that day when the Lord returns, fear is going to grip in those people's heart. And they will run away from God. They will not run to God, but they will run away from God and they will find a place to hide. If you turn with me to Revelation chapter 6, verse 15. Revelation 6:15. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, those people who didn't have any fear of God, right? Every slave and every free man, this is talking everybody. Everybody who did not have Christ in their hearts, in a sense, they were not true Christians. What did they do? They hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks and up the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. It's a pretty scary picture here. It's very scary. It's better for the mountains to fall on us that we'll hide than to face the Lamb of God who sits on the throne, because his wrath is coming. His wrath has come. Either you will run to him and meet him without a shame, with confidence. John says what? With confidence. Or you will be ashamed. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 23, in the same wavelength, Luke 23 chapter 23 28, but Jesus, here Jesus is picking up his cross, he's going to the cross, and there, here we see the scene here where a lot of women were weeping for Jesus, and Jesus turning them and said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourself and your children. Why did he say that? Because then he goes on to say in the next verse, for indeed the days are coming which they will see. Blessed are the barren wombs that never bore and breasts which never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. When the day, hey, he came as a lamb, but he's going to come as a judge. When he come as a judge, many are going to try to find a hiding place where you can hide from God. You cannot hide from the wrath of God. Of course, at the present, people have no fear. Why they don't have fear? They don't see God. People will suddenly, if they see a policeman, they will, you know, have fear because they see something. They don't have fear because they don't see God. Basically, that's it. But the word of God says, Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen me, but yet believe. Right? That's what, blessed are those who have not seen me, but yet believe. That means trusting in him. You don't have to be seen. You have to practice what the word of God says, even when it's not been seen by God. So here, there are so many people who are living in sin. They have no fear, no shame. But I'll tell you, at the appearance of the Lord Jesus, their boldness is gone. They will be seized with alarm and fear. They will turn. They will run. They will try to hide from the face of the Lord. The question is, will you be among this crowd? Will you be among the crowd? This crowd who will be running ashamed and trying to hide a place. You don't want to see the face of God. Because they know the wrath of God is here, and they will cry out to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us. And like Adam and Eve, they will flee from the presence of God. Question is, will you be one of them? That is a question. It's a personal question that we need to answer personally. What is the manner of his coming? How does it, if you turn with me, Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. Revelation 16, 15. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked, they see what? His shame. He's, the manner of his coming, he's going to come as a, like a thief. A thief will not tell you what day he's going to come, what time he's going to come. If a thief is going to tell you, you'll be ready for him. So he will not, thief will never tell you what day and what time he's going to come. That is the manner of his coming. He will come at any time. That means we need to keep watch. We need to keep watch all the time. Not walking in sin, but to love Him, looking forward for Him, and waiting patiently for His return. You do not need, you don't have to be scared of the coming of the Lord. If you're a true Christian, if you're abiding in Him, it will be a place saying, Lord Jesus, come soon. And you, with confidence, you can say, Lord, come. That we may have confidence. So we saw the scripture reading today, the 10 virgins. There were 5 virgins who were wise, and the 5 others were foolish. And the 5 were ready. They took oil, and the oil was there for until the Lord came. So oil is the anointing. Oil is the, it's kind of represent the Holy Spirit, represent the Word of God. And here we see Jesus said in John chapter 14 verse 26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He will teach you all things and will bring into remembrance. Okay? So it's so important that we need to have the Holy Spirit, and we need to have the Word of God. When we read things, that it will bring, the Holy Spirit will bring us into remembrance. And the last study, if you remember, it is what? To remember those most important things. So Holy Spirit will not teach you a new thing, but will teach you what is where? What is in the Word of God. It's not a new thing He's going to teach. He teaches what is in the Word of God. That's it. And if you do not read and study the Word of God, but if you are watching TV all the time, and you have all the pleasures in watching TV, and you're getting excited in that, where you have no time to study the Word of God, then you belong to the 5 foolish virgins. Then when Jesus comes, you're going to be ashamed of His coming. You are going to be ashamed of His coming. Because this is not a joke. We are going to see the wrath of God is going to come. The wrath of God is going to be what? Lake of fire. It's not a story. It is real. It's real. If you are going to be one of them who is not ready, who is not in the Word, who is not dwelling in the Word, is not abiding in Jesus, not abiding in His Word, then when Jesus comes, Jesus is going to be a stranger to you. He will tell you, I don't know you. I never knew you. Because your heart is not on Jesus. Your heart is on worldly things, on worldly cares, on worldly worries. You know, too many worries. And worldly pleasure. Worldly entertainment. You know, sometimes people take care of their body so much. They spend so much money for their body. You know, for body, everything. Spend so much money on vitamins and physical exercises, good looking, clothing and makeup and all these things. So much attention is put on the body. And, nice clothes to cover your nakedness and, even to put some golds and diamonds and everything so you look good. You take care of your health and wealth so much. But they don't realize when you die, your body is going to be eaten by worms. The body that you put so much care, so much money, you agonize for your body. And that's going to be eaten by worms. It's going to be buried in the ground. They didn't take care of their soul, which is more important. I'm not telling you that you don't have to take care of your body. I'm not telling you you don't have to take vitamins. But the question is, your soul. Your soul. That is the question. your soul, that's real you. It's not your body. Your body is not the real you. It's your soul that is real you. Because it's your soul that is going to face the judge. Your body is going to be rotten in the ground. Are you ready to meet him? Are you ready to meet him? In Genesis chapter 27, verse 2, Isaac said, I do not know the day of my death. I'll tell you, no, none of us is any different than Isaac. We do not know when we are going to die. Many are living for the flesh, gratifying the fleshly appetites. They do not feed the soul with the spiritual food. They do not take care of their soul. As I said, they agonize, not to take the narrow road, but agonize to take care of their body. In Luke chapter 12, verse 20, Jesus told that rich man who was so satisfied with everything what he had. And Jesus said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. What he meant was, this night you're going to die. I'm going to take your breath. This night you're going to face God. And Jesus said, what? Thou fool. So if you are one of those people, the foolish virgins, who did not abide in Christ, they didn't have the word in them, and then you're going to be ashamed of Jesus coming. But on the other hand, we'll see the brighter side, the wise virgins, the ones that are waiting eagerly to meet him. Okay? The wise virgins, they abide in Christ. When you say abide in Christ or abide in him, what does it mean? It means you need to abide in his word. John chapter 15 verse 7. John chapter 15 verse 7. John 15 verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask anything, it shall be done to you. So here, abiding in him is abiding in his words. And here the wise virgins, they have oil all the time. They are ready to meet the Lord. Their priority is God. Their number one love is the Lord. They continually abide in him. And they love him. They are filled with oil. They are filled with the Spirit of God. They are filled in the Holy Spirit. They do not walk by their feelings. They walk by faith in the Word of God. And they live in the Spirit. That means they study, they meditate. They live by the Spirit of God, in the Word of God. They know that all Scripture is God-breathed. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says all Scripture is breathed out by God. Some of your Bible says inspired. The Greek word is breathed out there. All Scripture. And Jesus said, John chapter 6 verse 63, his word is spirit and it's life. John 6:63. That means his word, this word is not another word. This word can change your life. Okay? This word is his spirit and this is life. It contains life. This word, when God spoke, the word, he created things out of nothing. Lazarus was dead for 4 days, stinking. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. It brought life. And we who are dead in our trespasses and sins in the darkness, when God calls our name, effectual calling, it brings life to us. From death to life. So this word is spirit and is life. So we need to abide in his word. Jesus said, John 15 verse 10, if you keep and abide in his love. So abiding in him is what? Keeping his word, keeping his commandments. How can you keep his word? Do you abide in Him? Are you reading the Word of God? Are you studying the Word of God? Are you studying it daily, just like your physical food? Are you going to be ashamed if He's coming? Are you going to find a hiding place? Are you going to run to meet Him? That's the question. But to the true Christian who is abiding in Christ, in His Word, Jesus is His Savior, His Lord, His brother, His friend. If you turn with me to, you know, for the true Christian, we will go through some trials, some difficulties, you know, we will go through trouble in this world, but I'll tell you, we are just pilgrims. Our focus is not on this earth, but our true focus is above this earth in heaven. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 1, He's our brother, He's our friend, He's our Lord, He's our Savior. And John chapter 14, verse 1, He said, let not your heart be troubled, because you believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. That is to the true Christians. That's the confidence we have in Christ. If you are truly abiding in Him, we have the confidence in meeting Him, because He has gone to heaven to prepare a place for us, for you. And if He were to come to your home today or any time to your bedroom and show Himself to you face to face, if He's going to come and see you, would you have confidence in meeting Him? He's not going to tell you what time He's going to come. Will you have confidence in meeting Him? On the other hand, only if you're abiding in Him, doing whatever you are doing in His name. In His name, you're working at another job. In His name, you're giving thanks to God. In His name, you're at the grocery store. In His name, okay? Wherever you are, you're on the street in His name, alright? Wherever you are, whatever you do, the Bible says, give glory to God. In His name, give thanks to God, everything what you do. Then if you're doing that, then you will not be ashamed to meet Him. He's not a stranger to you. You will have confidence to meet Him. We need to abide in Him daily. Not only on Sundays. Not only during the Bible studies. Not only in the prayer meetings. But every day, every hour, every instant, any time. We need to be abiding in Him. Because He will come suddenly. Or death will come suddenly. If you remember, there were multitudes of people who followed Jesus on His earthly ministry. Later, at the end of His ministry, many left. And the day of Pentecost, there were about 120 only. When Jesus returned, He appeared only to the believers. He did not appear to the people, the Pharisees and the unbelievers. He did not. He appeared to about 500 people who were living on that day. Now, we need to keep watch. That's the most important thing. Abide in Him and keep watch. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12, verse 34. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourself be like men who wait for their master. When he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. See that word? Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve. So we need to be always watching. And He is coming to His servants. See, He's coming to His servants. Are you a servant of Christ or are you just a person who just a spectator. You know, you need to be a servant of Christ. And here, waiting upon the Lord is so important. Maybe the Lord will not come during our lifetime. But are you ready to meet God when you die? Are you ready to meet God after death? We do not know what time we will die until we need to wait upon the Lord. We do not know what time we are going to die. But until then, we need to wait upon the Lord. As James said, James chapter 5 verse 7, James said, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until he receives the early and latter rain." Then he says, "You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." So we need to be patient. We should not say, "Oh, he's not coming," you know. Be impatient and do whatever you want to do. No, we need to have that endurance, patience, because you don't know what time you're going to die. So we need to be abiding in him continuously, all the time. Well, don't you get tired sometimes? We all get tired, don't we? We all get tired. Don't you get weak sometimes as a Christian? We all get weak. We all get tired. Because the narrow road is not an easy road. It's a tough one. There are some days we feel this way, but the Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious and He will give us strength to continue. If you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40 verse 28. Have you not known? Remember, when you get tired, when you get tired of waiting, when you feel weak, Isaiah, God speaks through Isaiah, he says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary." Hey, he is the creator. God never gets tired. He never faints. He's never weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. When you get tired, I'll tell you, he gives power to the weak, and those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But those who what? Wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. There again, waiting on the Lord, patiently. Waiting on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk, not be faint. So abiding him is a continual process. It's a verb, right? Abiding in him. So until we die, we need to abide in him. Because it's worth more than all the money the world can give. As the true Christians, we will be truly amazed. We will be truly amazed. Believe it or not, you will be truly amazed of the great surprise what the Lord has for you. When Jesus comes and you have confidence, you can run to him and meet him. And I'll tell you, you will be truly amazed what the Lord has for you. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 64. Continually abiding in him. Isaiah chapter 64. Verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God beside you who acts for him, one who waits on him. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor seen, heard by the ear, neither has seen by the eye beside thee what he had prepared for him that waiteth for him. Wow. But I'll tell you, if you are not ready, to meet him. If you are not ready to meet him, there's going to be a judgment. God's fury is going to come on full force. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, verse 41. 14:41 says, "The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out his kingdom. All things that offend and those who practice lawlessness," that means disobedient to God, "and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you asleep? Or is your mind somewhere else? Thinking of the store, think about food. Are you hearing the word of God that if you are not right, you'll be cast into the lake of fire? Seriously consider, if you continually live in a loose and a careless lifestyle and in sin, but you fear the policeman, you fear the earthly judge, but here it's not the earthly judge who is going to come, he is the judge of the universe who is going to come. When the judge of the universe is going to descend from heaven, there is guilt written all over your face. Although you may not fear him now, but at that time, when the universe, the judge of the universe is going to come, what account are you going to give him of your disobedience? What account are you going to give him? What are you going to tell him about your secret sins? What are you going to, he's going to expose everything in front of you. The judge is going to be the supreme judge, and you cannot take your case to another judge because there is no appealing. Because you cannot appeal your case to another judge. So you cannot take your case to another judge. You cannot get a lawyer here because he is the supreme judge who is going to come. On that day, the divine judge, you might say, oh, he might have mercy on me. I'll tell you. Mercy is here now, not on that day. Mercy is while you're living on the face of the earth. That is where mercy can be found. That is where grace can be found. On that day, the divine judge, he's not going to mix mercy with justice. That day is going to be his justice because he's going to come as a judge to judge you. The time of mercy for the sinners is now. Christ was merciful when he lived on the face of the earth. When you heard the word of God, he was merciful that he didn't take your life right away. He was gracious, but you kept on sinning. You didn't want even to listen to the word of God. You kept on moving your way. But I'll tell you, when Christ comes on his second coming, he will not appear in his mercy. He will come and in another character. He will set aside his other attributes of grace and mercy. He will clothe himself with justice and vengeance. The punishment, he will come without any pity on people who are not ready to meet God. No pity at all. The pity is now. If you repent before God, the wrath of God will be poured upon the wicked without any mixture of mercy. The wrath of God will be poured out with full force, with vengeance, with full weight, and it will come upon you. So, Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2, he said, "Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. If you hear the voice of God, do not harden your heart." So, we need to repent of your sins. Need to repent of your sins. Do not postpone and say, well, later. Tell you, there is not going to be later. Today is the day of salvation. Ask the Lord to save you from the wrath that is going to come. Ask the Lord to save you from the wrath of God that is going to come. Ask the Lord, pray to God and say, God, I'm a miserable sinner. I'm exceedingly sinful. I'm disobedient to you. Have mercy upon me. Save me. And then don't continue in the sins anymore. Read the word of God. No matter what Satan will put in your home, everything he will, Satan will give all kinds of work for you to do, so you will not get into the word of God. Not, he will even come use the family members to come against you. Just like how Satan used Peter against Jesus. Remember, then Jesus had to cry, hey, Satan, get thee behind me, you know. I got priorities to do. So important. Finally, let me ask you, are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready for your scheduled day of death? We are all going to die. 50 years time, where are we? 100 years time, where are we going to be? There's no pulpit going to be here. I don't know. Where are we? We are going to die. That is sure. Death is a sure thing. We are all going to die. But are you ready to confront Jesus? Lastly, let me take you to the last scripture, Amos chapter 4, verse 11. I overthrew some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And you were like a firebrand plucked from the burning, yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Meaning, God, Sodom and Gomorrah is a warning, right, to the Israel. It's a warning to all of us. It was a warning in the Old Testament, but God said, yet you have not returned to me. You have not repented. I did to Sodom and Gomorrah because they were evil, they were disobedient, they didn't follow me. And you saw, you heard it in the scriptures, it's there, but still you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Then verse 12, look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, therefore, thus I will do unto thee, Israel, because I will do this unto thee. Prepare to meet thy Lord, thy God, O Israel. Hey, are you prepared to meet God? That's the question. Therefore, you didn't repent. You saw the warnings of God, you heard the sermons, you did everything, but you didn't repent. Therefore, are you ready to meet Christ when he comes in his vengeance, in his wrath? That's the question. Let's pray. Father, we pray.